Morning. Today's daf in Yuma, Chaf Ches, we are in Chaf Zayinim Beis. We are last couple lines, Ikadamri. Gemara is going to have a slightly different version of yesterday's discussion. Let's go over yesterday's discussion. The Gemara in Chaf Zayin, so we went over the Mishnah that we introduced in Chaf Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah talked about an aisle and par, and when they're marched up the Mizbech as a carbon seabor, so they're going to be done as a procession with a number of Kohanim. What exactly that number is? Good, so the Mishnah told us that for an aisle it's 11, and for a par it's going to be 24. As opposed to the kevesh, the keves, going up the kevesh, as opposed to the sheep, which is the number there is going to be 9. So 9, 11, 24. Those are the number of Kohanim that are going to be bringing up the karbanos. The Gemara yesterday focused really primarily on the last line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that when it comes to hefshev v'nituach, those are preparatory stages of a karban prior to it being burned on the top of the Mizbeach, where you have to flay the animal and you have to cut the animal into its pieces. So the Mishnah said, Zevezesh Shavin, or to quote the Mishnah slightly more accurately, Elu ve'elu Shavin. It's the same, carbon steeper, carbon yachid, it's all the same. What does that mean, it's all the same? So we spent yesterday discussing what's all the same is that you can have a zar doing it. Non-Kohen could be doing these activities, even though you could have viewed them as avoda type activities, but the chiddush is that no, it's hechsher, it's achana, and you can have and you can have these non-Kohanim doing it. Good. That was a good part of yesterday's daf. And then the second half of yesterday's daf is okay. What about a non-Kohen being involved in other types of preparatory activities? So the Gemara quotes Bishim Rav Yochanan. This is Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, the top of yesterday's Amud Beis. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yochanan that if you have a zar shesider samaracha, if what he does is that he organizes the fire on the top of the Mizbech, not the introduction of the two extra logs, but just simply organizing on the top of the Mizbech. So zar does that, he's going to be Chayv Misa. So Gemara yesterday said, really, that's curious. He's going to be Chayv Misa. It can't be. You're talking about something that can be done at night. It doesn't even have to be done during the day. It's an avoda shebalayla. Your avoda shebalayla is really considered an avoda. So the Gemara says, okay, point very well taken. What he meant was the shnei gzira eitzim. That if you have a non-Kohen introducing the two blocks of wood up onto the Mizbech, so on that, you're going to be chayv. Okay, so the Gemara was a little bit happier with that statement. Being that, as it said, the Gemara, as part of yesterday's daf, went over other activities of a czar, where, unlike Hefshev v'nituach, where a czar could do it, so over here, the Shnei Gzira Eitzim, a czar cannot do it. With all that stated, so we continue now in the Gemara, Ikadamri. A different version of yesterday's discussion, and that is, Maskev la Rebbe Zera, v'chi yesh lecha avoda, shiyesh achara avoda, upsula bazar. You're talking about an avoda that's not the end of the, it's not the end of a section. That's not the end of a series. And you go back to the beginning of our perek, so we pointed out, Rav Levi, in order for an avoda to be not only prohibited for a non-Kohen to do, this takes us back to Daf Chav Dalet, if you want a reference. But not only does it have to be an avoda that's exclusive to Kohanim, but it has to be the concluding avoda, right? It has to be what the Gemara described on Chav Dalet as an avoda tama. It has to be concluding avoda. If it's just a process in which there's another step after that in this process, so that's not an avoda tama. Again, a czar should not participate in that, but to say that you're chayv misa, no, it doesn't reach the threshold of a chi of misa. So the Gemara now is bothered by the fact that over here you're talking about the sidur ma'aracha, that's not a voda tama, and that's exactly what the Gemara is reacting to. And that's why the Gemara doesn't like the first statement of Rav Yochanan in the Sika Damre. Now, this is slightly different than yesterday's discussion. Yesterday's discussion, it was a rejection of Rav Yochanan because it's an avoda balayla. It's an avoda you could do at night. Over here, it's a similar type rejection, but it's a different point. And that is, it's not the completion of an avoda. So v'chi yeshecha avoda sheyeshachara avoda psula bazar. Now, what we're going to do is the following, as per the guidance of Rashi and the Vilna Gaon. We're going to now skip the next four lines of the Gemara, four and a half lines of Gemara. Elei itmar hachi itmar chav ches amad aleph. And we are now five lines down. So the Gemara says that this is what was meant by Rav Yochanan. So a quick modification, what Rav Yochanan said. Am Rav Asi, am Rav Yochanan. Zar, shesidr shnei gzir eitzim chayef. So when I have a non-Kohen, and he is going to be doing the Shnei Gzira Eitzim, he's going to be chopping. He's going to be adding, introducing the two blocks of wood onto the Mizbeach. So that would be Chayv, because that is considered Avodah Tama. Okay, good. So basically now what we've done, like we did yesterday, is that we've modified. The new statement of Rev Yochanan is not the Sidur Ma'aracha, but rather it's the introduction of the two blocks of wood that's on the Mizbeach. That's considered an Avodah Tama. Now, just for a moment, let's think about it. It's considered an Avodah Tama. It's a strange Avodah Tama, meaning the adding of the two blocks of wood is really the end of a sequence. It's the end of the series. It's really just part of a step of burning the carbon on the Mizbeach. All we're doing is now just... We're getting the grill ready. If you understand, Ben, there's a seat over here. We're getting the grill ready. So what does it mean that it's the end of an avoda? So presumably, what the Gemara means by this is that the adding of the two blocks of wood, meaning the lighting up of the grill, if you will, the preparation of the top of the mizbeach. So that in of itself is considered its own separate activity, meaning basically what we have to try to do, and it's not easy, is that we have to organize the activities of the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. So granted, of course, that now that the blocks of wood are on, so now we added more fuel so that we could burn the carbon on top of the Mizbeach. That's all true. But in terms of how we organize all this information, it sounds pretty clear from the Gemara over here that the addition of the two blocks of wood, meaning Kohen goes to the top of the Mizbeach. It's a little bit of a mess over there. So first Sidra Ma'aracha. Organization, right? I'm not exactly sure what you do, but whatever's left over, in other words, in terms of leftover animal, leftover blocks, leftover ash, so some sort of organization on the top. Now that you did that, okay, now we're going to add two blocks of wood. That is, for that particular sequence, that's considered now the concluding of Oda. Okay, so this is how the Gemara is presenting it now. So Maskev Rava, so now a lot of the discussion is going to sound very familiar. It's basically going to be a review of what we saw in yesterday's daf. So Rava asked the following question, Alam Yatzati by Pius. So the Gemara says, okay, now you're telling me that these are really significant avodas. If a non-Kohen were to do them, you'd be chayv misa. So shouldn't we have a lottery for these types of avodas? So the Gemara says, V'lo by Pius, V'atanya. The Gemara says, wait a second. It's a great question. But we do have a lottery. Do you remember? Misha Zachar B'Chumas HaDesh Yizkeh B'Sidur Shnei Gzira Eitzim. Yeah, so what we did is that we put the Shnei Gzira Eitzim together with the Chumas HaDesh. So Hachi Kamar, the Gemara says, I hear you, I remember, but then, here's my problem, Yufaisu La B'Fnei Atzma. So the Gemara says, okay, so I have this question. So Chumas HaDesh, Shnei Gzira Eitzim, which one's more significant? Now, that's not a fair question. But the Gemara asked it anyway, so let's entertain it. So which one's more of an avoda? So the one that's more of an avoda, Shnei Gzira Eitzim, because as we have just concluded in our Gemara, Shnei Gzira Eitzim that's done by a Zar, Chayiv Misa. Now the Chumas Adeshin, right, we discussed it back on Chav Dalet. And you remember the position of Rav is, you're not Chayiv Misa. A non-Kohen does it, it's wrong, shouldn't be doing it, but you're not Chayiv Misa. Now, Rav's position is that it's not an avodas matana. You're not giving something. You're not providing something. You're taking something away. Now, it happens to be that Levi's position back there is that you are chayv misa if you're a non-Kohen doing the Chumas Adeshin. But for a moment, though, let's just focus on Rav's position that we saw back in Chav Dalet. So now, Shnei Gzira Eitzim versus Chumas Adeshin, Shnei Gzira Eitzim is more of an avoda. So the Gemara now wants to know, why are we doing the Shnei Gzira Eitzim via lottery as a tack on to the Chumas Adeshin? Meaning the first lottery of the morning, as we opened up our perek, is really Chumas Adeshin. And then, you know what? We'll tack on the Shnei Gzira Eitzim. Why is the Shnei Gzira Eitzim like attached to the Chumas Adeshin? Really, who should be the star of the pious of that particular lottery? The star of that pie should be the Shnei Gzira Eitzim. And you want to tack on the Chumas Adeshin as well? Fine. So the Gemara's response is Kid de Amrina. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm also going to remind you with one word of everything that we said earlier in the Masechta as well, in this particular perek, which is that really its starting point was that we had a pious for just the Chumas Adeshin alone. We just couldn't get the Kohanim to come out. They're right. They weren't that excited about Chumas Adeshin. Again, how early it is in the morning, how it's not viewed by the Kohanim as such an exciting avoda. So what we needed to do is that we needed to give some sort of incentive. So that's why we attached the Shnei Gzir Eitzim to the Truma Sedeshin. So it's a historical point. It is not really sharing us with us what the value system is, which one's more of an avod over the other one. Okay. So Lamemer Davo Datama Vizar Chayvala Misa by Pious. Ein Zar Chayvala Misa Lo by Pious. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, here's what I think. This is just like yesterday's daf. Here's what I think. I think now that in order for something to be eligible for lottery, so it has to be an avodah tama, and it has to be for that if a zar were to do that activity, it'd be chayv misa. Okay? So vahari shchita. So the Gemara says, now I'm gonna highlight shchita like we did in yesterday's daf. And that is by shchita, you don't need a kohen to do so. Yes, as part of the lottery, we determine which kohen is going to do the shchita for the carbon tamid, but I don't need a kohen to do shchita. Shchita is kasher bazar. So if that's true, so it seems to be that we're wrong regarding what exactly is the prerequisite, what's the criteria of when we're going to do a lottery. So the Gemara says, Shani Shchita Tetchilas Avoda Diyamamahi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what, leave Shchita out of the discussion because as part of the Avoda of a standard carbon, so you need Shchita. It's the beginning. It's the very first activity in terms of the avod of a karban. So do I need a kohen? No, of course I don't need a kohen. On the other hand, however, it really starts us going. And since it starts us going, so let's just start with the kohanim. It'll be much easier that way. You could say that. In other words, what we're asking over here is what's demanding lottery. We're looking at the criteria of what's demanding a lottery. Apparently the lottery, I mean, not apparently, lottery is a big deal. But but as far as the Gemara's discussion over here is that what now becomes the criteria? So you're right. Kohen should do a lechatchil, but to have a lottery over it. So the Gemara says, yeah, because it's the beginning of the whole process. Now lemeimer da'avoda tama by pais avoda sheyesh acharei avoda lo by pais. So the Gemara says, okay. So again, if I'm understanding the nature of the lottery, something which is an avodah tama requires a lottery. Something which is just part of a series, if you are mid-series of avodas, doesn't require a lottery. Vare ivarma padarim. So the Gemara says, what about ivarma padarim? Is that really the end of the avodah? The Gemara says, yeah. Sof avodah diyamamihi. So the Gemara says, yeah, it really is. In other words, it's true that we're doing it at night, but don't look at the night as a new time span, as a new entity. It's just simply the continuation and the conclusion of the avodah that was done during the day. So Hari Truma Sedeshin. So the Gemara says, what about Truma Sedeshin? Truma Sedeshin is really the end of a process. The Gemara says, Mishumai Seshaya. Okay, you know why there was a lottery over Truma Sedeshin? So let me remind you what we learned at the beginning of our perek. So they tried Truma Sedeshin without a lottery. You know, a little race up the ramp. So we don't have to go into details of how it went. It was a disaster. Broken leg, stabbed Cohen. So it was a disaster. So there, we needed a lottery over there because what else are we exhausted the other possibilities. Okay, Amar Marzuchavi Temer Vashiaf Namitanina. And the Gemara says, and you know what? I have a brisa that supports this as well. Amar Lahem Amamun Tsururuga Imigiaz Manashkita. And we're going, again, we did this yesterday, but good, we get to review again today. And that is, I'm going to quote a Mishnah, not just any Mishnah, but a Mishnah, the third parak of Yuma. It happens to be that we're going to see the Mishnah here in just a moment from now, as it is the opening Mishnah, the third parak of Yuma. So in the third parak, we're basically looking. Earliest time to do Shechita. Make sure it's light enough outside in a moment. We're going to go over the details of how early we're talking about. What time in the morning are we describing? So Amar Lahem Amamun Tsururu Im Higia Zman HaShechita. V'ilu Zman Sidur Gizrei Eitzim Lo Ketani. So the Gemara says, and you'll notice that we're not making the announcement, hey, see if it's early enough for us to add another two blocks of wood up onto the Mizbeach. So so you see over here that it really is really the Gemar Sidur Ma'aracha. And it really seems to be the end of the setting up the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe yes, maybe no. So hach the leifle tekanda katani. Hach the leifle katani, the tekanta katani, hach the isle tekanta lo katani. The Gemara says, look, its absence, its omission from the Mishnah doesn't mean anything. Because as we pointed out yesterday, and we get to review again today, when it comes to the putting of the two blocks of wood on the Mizbeach, let's say you put it on too early. Meaning, you didn't make the announcement. And some Cohen who got really excited put on the two blocks too early. It's not the end of the world because what you could do is you could just simply take it off and put it back on again at the proper time, at the appropriate time. So there is a tikkun. There's a way of correcting that. When it comes to shechita, if you shech the carbon too early, so what, do you get a redo on the shechita? And obviously the answer is no. You don't get a redo on the shechita. Okay, so the Gemara says, so that's the difference between the two, and that's the only reason why it was omitted from the Mishnah, having nothing to do with whether or not it is a Gemara, it's a Gemara Voda, it's not a Gemara Voda, it's a Vodas Laila, it's not a Vodas Laila, it has nothing to do with that, it just happens to be that it's something which is correctable. Hadralach Barishana, that is the end of the second parak of the Masechta. And now we have the Schus of starting the third parak of Yuma, and let's get underway. Yeah, so for the Cedar Maracha, the Gemara rejected that. But for the Shnei Gzira Eitzim, for adding the two blocks of wood, Gemara seems to have accepted that. Right? Even though the Gemara had two rounds of questioning that position, but the Gemara seems to have accepted it. In the first round, the objection was on the grounds that Cedar Maracha, the organizing of the top of the Mizbech, that could be done at night. It's Avodas Laila. In the second round, so the objection was that it's not the end of a process. It's not the Avodah Tama. And the only time you're going to be chayiv is only for Avodah Tama. Okay. Okay. In terms of a good point to review, and Rashi makes this point over here, and I didn't highlight it, but it's not too late. It could very well be that Rav Yochanan is not going to be in agreement with Rav and Levi. Meaning Rav and Levi, that we saw back in Chav Dalet, so they say that what does an avoda need to be in order for a zar to be chayiv misa? It has to be an avoda tama. Does it also have to be an avoda matana? Machlok is between Rav and Levi. But it has to be an avoda tama. It has to be the end of a process. Now it could very well be, and Rashi points this out, second to last Rashi, before the new perek, right? That Rav Yochanan doesn't subscribe to that. Right, Rashi writes the cedar gezirin avoda tamihi k'Rav Yochanan u'delo k'Rav Levi delo manila ba'avoda shezar chayv ala mishum diyesh acharei cedar evarim. So the position Rav Yochanan is not in agreement with Rav and Levi. Rav and Levi would tell you this is Rashi's setup of the machlokas. Rav and Levi would tell you that the putting up the two blocks of wood. We're not done yet, meaning we still have the burning of the Evarim. We're still in the middle of a process. So therefore, they wouldn't count it. Not only wouldn't they count it, they didn't count it. Meaning back in Chav Dalet, Rav and Levi were very specific about which avodas would be Chayv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. And this wasn't one of them. It was a short list of four avodas back in Chav Dalet. Zrika, Haktara, Nisa Chamayim, Nisa Chayayin. Levi has the Truma Sedeshin as well. But in other words, this didn't make the list. So Rav Yochanan is obviously arguing about whether or not this is an avodah tama or it's not. Rav Yochanan's of the opinion it is an avodah tama. And again, it's just a question of how you organize your activities in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's start the new parak here in the Masechta, in which we're going to be continuing a discussion. Now it sounds like over here, at least in the beginning, we're going to be talking about the broader opening of the of the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, just like the previous parak, we were talking about the payasos. Certainly the payasos were year-round. It wasn't limited to Yom Kippurim. And as we discussed a couple of times already, machlok is between the Baal Mor and the Ramban in terms of whether or not we have a payas altogether in Yom Kippur. Meaning the Baal Mor takes a really interesting position that the second parak of Yuma has nothing to do with Yuma. In fact, on Yom Kippur, there is no lottery. Okay, that's the Baal Mor's position. The Ramban had a really difficult time hearing that. But anyway, but certainly we were talking about year-round in the Beis HaMikdash. The third parak seems to be opening up also with what's going on year-round in the Beis HaMikdash, not just limited to Yom Kippur. As we move later into this third parak, so we're going to transition into what is clearly Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And then basically from somewhere mid-third parak all the way to the end of the seventh parak, so we're going to be talking about Avodas Yom HaKippurim. When you think about it, obviously it's a very special day with a lot of special avodas. So you're looking at, you know, is just 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's just a little bit under 5 prakim of discussion regarding the avodas Yom Kippurim here in the Masechta. Compare that to Pesach, right? When we did Pesach, and how many prakim did we dedicate to the discussion of the Karban Pesach? 5 prakim. In other words, prakim 6 through 9. So 5 prakim dedicated to the Karban Pesach. So here in Yuma, about the same, you know, roughly. So the Amar Lehem HaMamuna. So we're talking now about the early morning of the Beis HaMikdash, and we're ready now to shech the Karban Tamid. Karmen Tamid has to be shechted in the morning. So let's for a moment, just let's leave the Gemara for a moment. Let's talk about the morning. So nowadays, in terms of how we think about the morning, obviously without a base of Mikdash, so the best way for us to think about the morning is Shacharis. When's the earliest time you could daven Shacharis? Well, I'm going to answer that question in just a moment. When's the best time to daven Shacharis? So that the Gemara says very clearly. So immediately after sunrise, Vasikin. That doesn't mean it's the earliest time you could daven Shacharis, it just simply means it's the best time you could daven Shacharis. So immediately when the sun rises, Vasikin. So with the first rays of the sun coming up, so you should start your Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, good. And there are a lot of religious Jews who are davening Vasikin. That's very good. So so that's the best time to daven Shacharis. Okay, now let me re-ask the opening question. When's the earliest time to daven Shacharis? So the truth of the matter is that the day starts at dawn. Once you hit dawn, so already at that point in time, so it's considered now daytime. Dawn is, so the Gemara writes, Rambam writes, that daytime begins an hour and a fifth of an hour. So let's call that 12 minutes, an hour and 12 minutes prior to sunrise. So already now when the eastern sky starts to light up, so that's already now considered dawn. And therefore, that's when the day begins. Let's remind each other of the Gemara and Megillah. The Mishnah Megillah. The Mishnah Megillah says that any mitzvah that can be done during the daytime, and the Mishnah over there gives a whole host of examples of what mitzvahs can be done during the day. So really, you could start it at dawn, but that's only b'di'evit. Preferably, you should wait till sunrise. Why? Why wait till sunrise? The answer is really simple. Because dawn is really hard to empirically look at and say, hey, this is where it's now officially dawn. Meaning that moment between where before the eastern sky has lit up versus after, it's hard. It's difficult. Seeing the sunrise, that's much more empirical, right? You're seeing a ball, right? A big bright ball coming out of the eastern horizon. It's just a little bit easier to see. So the Mishnah over there in Megillah says that b'di'eved, any daytime mitzvah can be done after dawn, but lichatchila you should wait out until after sunrise. Okay, which means now in terms of Shacharis, that davening Shacharis before sunrise, so it's not lichatchila. Okay, it's b'di'eved. Now there are a number of occasions. This is where you have a rav, and you know, not me, but there are a number of occasions where you need to daven before sunrise, and good as long as it's after dawn, so it's good. But when I say it's good, I'm meaning, in other words, you have to consult with your rav in terms of establishing as to in terms of whether or not you meet the criteria. However, after sunrise, for sure now it's going to be day, and for sure it's going to be fine. Okay, good. Hopefully that was clear. So that means to say now, when it comes to the Karban Tamid, which is also obviously daytime, specifically morning, so the mitzvah is to shecht it, the earliest opportunity. So when's the earliest opportunity? So I think now that if I apply the Mishnah, here's a conclusion I would have arrived at. That the earliest opportunity would be dawn, but l'chadchila we should wait till sunrise. Sounds good, right? So we're going to learn together in our Mishnah. Nah, that's not the case when it comes to the Karban Tamid. When it comes to the Karban Tamid, they're going to shecht the Karban Tamid before sunrise. The Mishnah says that's not l'chadchila, that's only b'di'evin. Yeah, for you and me. Meaning for you and I, who are not equipped really to tell the difference between before dawn, after dawn, so we should wait till sunrise to do any of these mitzvahs. However, in the base of Mikdash, like they're professionals. So in the base of Mikdash, so they're going to be shechting even though it's before sunrise. It's after dawn, it's before sunrise, so they're going to be shechting the Karban Tamid at that point in time. That's what's going to become clear from our Mishnah. Okay. So, Amar Lahem HaMemuna. So, here we have the process in terms of determining whether or not it's early enough. So, you have now the Memuna. Rashi calls him the Sagan. Okay, Tosus Yishanim doesn't love that. But anyway, Rashi calls him the Sagan, not calls him the Sagan, identifies him as a Sagan. We're talking about the Deputy Kohen Gadol. So, he says, Tzu'u Ru'im Igiyaz Man Hashchita. So, let's see if it's early enough so we could shech the Karban Tamid. Im higaroa amar bar kai. So now let's say it is time enough, meaning it's early enough, or I should say better, it's late enough, meaning it's dawn already. So what are we going to hear him say, bar kai? The sky is lit up. Okay, in other words, and you're not going to hear over here, oh, I see the sun. Because again, we're not talking about sunrise, we're talking about before sunrise. Masi ben Shmuel amar heir pnei amizrach ad shebechevron. So So according to Masi ben Shmuel, the exchange goes like this. Heir pnei kol amizrach. So the entire eastern sky is lit up. Ad shebechevron, all the way to Chevron. Bu amar hein, and he says, yeah, all the way to Chevron. Now Chevron is far away from Yerushalayim. Can you see Chevron from Yerushalayim? I don't know. My best guess would be no, But okay, whether you can or you cannot,
it used to be that Yerushalayim was the highest mountain
before the Romans leveled it. Right. Again, I don't know. Here's what I do know. Rashi quotes on the Amud Beis of today's daf, he quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says Chevron is maybe to be understood literally. Yerushalmi says maybe not. Maybe Chevron over here was just to be reminding us of the Tzchus Avos. We want to connect the Karbanos to the Avos, right? The deep relationship that they have between the Karban and the Avos. Okay, so it reminds us of Tzchus Avos. That's the Yerushalmi's explanation of why specifically we're talking about Chevron. In any regard, what comes out over here is basically we're looking at the eastern skies. They're lit up, meaning are we at the point of post dawn? Once we are, that's fine. Valama hutzrichulakach. Now the Gemara says, now it's so formal, right? We have a question, we have an answer, we have this kan kohen being involved. Like, why is everything so formal over here? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Yishib hamachas ala meor halavana v'dima sheir mizrach v'shachkus atam evosi ala beis asreifa. Because there was one morning where the moon was out there early in the morning, right? At a certain point in the month. So you're going to see the moon early in the morning. So there was a point where the moon was out there, and the moon gave off enough light where people in the Beis HaMikdash thought, oh, okay, fine, it's dawn. Meaning they saw the sky lit up. So, okay, so that's what they thought. And so they shechted the carbon. What they discovered later is they shechted it too early. In other words, it was pre-dawn when they shechted it, but they were fooled by the light produced by the moon. Okay, so they made a mistake. And again, like we said just moments earlier, when it comes to the shechting of the carbon tamid, if you did it too early, it's an uncorrectable mistake. It's muvas asher lo yuchal iskon. You can't fix it. So what do you do? So what they did is they brought the carbon out to the base of Sreifa, disposed of the carbon, and they had to start again. So now, after having made that mistake, so basically now it became a much more formal process. Skana Kohen, is the eastern sky lit up? The answer is yes. All the way to Chevron, the answer is yes. Okay, good. So now it goes with more formality. So they brought the Kohen Gadol down now to the Beis HaTfilah. So it sounds like now we're describing Yom Kippur, right? At this part of the Mishnah, where we're describing the Kohen Gadol going down to the Beis HaTfilah. Okay? So, and as a general rule in the Beis HaMikdash, so anytime you urinate, let me go in the right order of the Mishnah. Anytime you defecate, so Taun Tefillah, in order to be able to become pure to do the avoda, so you need not just a washing of your hands and feet, you need to tovel the mikvah. And anytime you're matomayim, anytime you urinate, so Taun Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, you just simply need to wash your hands and feet. What does this have anything to do with the Mishnah? Stay tuned. The Gemara later, meaning not today, is going to ask the question. The Gemara is going to answer that question. Okay, let's continue. We're in Chav Chesam and Base. We're towards the top. And Tanya, we start with the Braisa. Rebbe Yishmael Omer Barak Barkai. So over here, there are going to be a lot of opinions in terms of what exactly the formula was that was said by the appointed who was watching the eastern sky and the Mamuna and the Skana Kohen. So according to Rebbe Yishmael, so the sentence went Barak Barkai, meaning it was really light, right? Heyer Yoser Mi Barak, lighter than thunder. Okay, not exactly clear. How light we're talking about. Again, we're talking about the dawn in eastern sky, so I'm not totally clear. But anyway, that's one way to say it. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Allah Barkai. According to Rabbi Akiva, sorry, other way around. Rabbi Shmuel was just Barak Barkai, right? Basically, light as thunder. And Rabbi Akiva demands it to be even lighter. Allah Barkai. It's even more lighter than thunder. Again, not totally sure what we mean by all this, but basically, they had certain shades of light that they needed to see in order to call it dawn. Anuchunya ben Af Kishion, Omer Af Barkai beChevron. It's even as light as Chevron. Masi ben Shmuel Hamemun ala Payas is Omer. So Masi ben Shmuel, who by the way was in charge of the lottery, Omer Heir Pnei Kol Hamizrach Ad Shebechevron. So his formulation was the eastern sky is so light all the way up until Chevron. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Omer, Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach, Ad B'Chevron, the sounds awfully similar, just takes out the shin, V'yatsu Kol HaAm, Ish L'Malachto. And basically everyone's gone to work. Okay, so in other words, so he's saying that it's dawn when? When people already started making their way to work. The Gemara says, what? People making their way to work? That's not dawn. Iachi Nagalei Tuva. That's later in the morning. So what does it mean? People are already on their way to work. So the Gemara says, okay, a little clarification over here. And that is Liskor Poel and Kamrinan. No, when he's announcing that people are already on their way to work, no, people are basically lined up in order to get work. In other words, people needed a job. So there were certain designated areas where you go and you get selected to do a job for that particular day workers. And so we're talking about that process, not when they're actually going to work, but basically when they're lining up in order to get selected to get a job. Again, sometime in the dawn hour. Okay. So, all right, good. So the Braisa brings down various opinions in terms of when exactly are we comfortable enough where it's dawn, where we know for sure it's dawn. And the various Tanayim are all introduced, a number of opinions of exactly what we're looking for. Okay, not to say I understand it, but I get the basic idea. In other words, it's got to be not just, you know, the first moments of dawn, but it's got to be a little bit lighter than that, where we're comfortable, where we know that it's the daytime has started. Ama Rav Safra. Okay, here comes the exciting part of today's daf. I mean, it's all exciting, but here comes the exciting part of today's daf. Tzlusei de Avraham Michim Shachrei Kostle. So when we're talking about Tzlusei de Avraham, now, if you didn't know any better, Tzlusei de Avraham, the Tefillah of Avraham. So what is the Tefillah of Avraham? So we all would have said Shachris. I would have said Shachris, and I would have been wrong in the context of this Gemara over here. It's talking about Mincha. It's describing Mincha, Tzlusei de Avraham, the Tefillah of Avraham. Okay, it sounds a little bit strange, and I know what everyone's wondering, and in a moment I'm going to address that question. But anyway, Tzlusei de Avraham Michim Shachrei Kostle. So you know when the first opportunity to daven mincha? So basically when you see a shadow on the wall, meaning that as the sun now arrives at the midpoint of the sky, so let's call it noon, but in other words, we're talking really halachically noon, so it's at the midpoint of the sky, so there's not going to be a shadow, not on the east or not on the west. In other words, that's part of what noon means. And now what happens is that the moment that the sun starts creating a shadow, now remember, the sun's heading into the west, so the shadow's going to be on the east side of the wall. So the moment that it creates a shadow, so it's at that point in time now that you could have mincha. Mechi mishachrei kosle, when the walls become black, what I just described. So Amar Rav Yosef, Ana mi Avram, Nekum Nigmar. So Rav Yosef has such a curious question. We're supposed to learn from Avram? Now, I thought the answer is, yeah, isn't that exactly what we're supposed to do? Meaning, why does the Torah give us an entire chumash, right? A fifth of the Torah talking about the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's presumably so that we can learn from them. So that's a funny question. Should we learn from Avram? So, but the Gemara asked that question. Rav Yosef said, should we learn from Avram? I'll explain the question better in just a moment. So Amar Rava, Tana, Gamar mi Avram, v'ana lo gamrina minei. So the answer is, yep, of course we learn from Avram. The Tana learns from Avram. We're going to learn from Avram as well. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Uviyam ashmini yamal basar lasom alamit shekola yom kash lamila. So you know that the mitzvah of mila can be done anytime during the eighth day. Elish ezrizim magdim lamitzvah shenem avishkem Avram baboker vayachavosh. And meanwhile, Avram gets up early in the morning and he saddles his donkey. Now, the citation of the pasuk over here is not by the mitzvah of mila. Citation of the pasuk over here is by the Akedah. Okay. Fine. And Tosus deals with that. Tosus on the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Anyway, what comes out over here is, yes, we can learn from Avram. And so basically, if Avram's davening that early, so we should be davening that early as well. So the Gemara now is going to refine the question of Rav Yosef. But before we refine the question of Rav Yosef, so a couple things that are obvious points to consider and discuss. And that is that the Gemara over here is discussing the right time to daven mincha, and the Gemara describes that Tzlusei de Avraham, it's Avram's tefillah. Avram's tefillah, so that's not how I would have described mincha. Would have described it as Yitzchak's tefillah. The Gemara in Brachos, we're all familiar with, is that Avram was Mesach in Shachris, and Yitzchak mincha, and Yaakov Mariv, and our Gemara over here is funny, it's curious. So it's an obvious question. Tosfos Yeshanim, I don't know why Rashi is not bothered. Anyway, so Tosfos Yeshanim over here, right on the daf. So it's the first Tosfos Yeshanim on the Amud. It's on the bottom. It's two columns. I'm looking at the first column. So he writes, Tosfos Avram, Michim Shachrei Kasle, V'im Tomer, Harmina Beperk Tfilas HaShachar, Yitzchak Tikein Tfilas Mincha, Shenemra Vayetze Yitzchak LaSuach Basadeh, Yesh Lomar, De'achar, Shetikna Yitzchak, Sahaya Omra Gam Avraham, Kach Perish Rabbeinu Tam. So he quotes a really interesting Rabbeinu Tam and says that, look, Yitzchak does get credit for it. He did institute it. After Yitzchak instituted it, so the father said, you know, it's a good idea. I want in. And so Avram started davening. Okay, that's Rabbeinu Tam's answer. It is a little bit curious. Why then call it Sluse de Avram? He's not the originator. The originator is Yitzchak. Okay. Inami, Omer Rebbe, de Mikamakam, Haya Omer Avram Itchila, Ela Shalo Asa Klal Lechol B'nei Beso. A second answer of Tosfos Yeshanim is the following. Is that really? No. Avram Davin Mincha. But he didn't institute it. In other words, he didn't tell everyone in his family and all of his, you know, and everyone within his circle. He didn't say, right, gentlemen, ladies, we have to Davin Mincha. But rather, Shachris to him was an institution. Mincha, he did as his own personal chumrah. Right? So second answer of Tosfos Yeshanim. And then when Yitzchak comes along, so Yitzchak said, you know what? I'm going to make this as an institution. But the truth of the matter is Avram Davin Mincha also. Good. So that's the back and forth in terms of why it's called Sluse de Avram. One other basic point to consider, Rav Yosef's question is almost impossible to understand. Are we supposed to learn from Avram Avinu? And the answer is, yeah, we're supposed to learn from Avram Avinu. What was he asking? Are we supposed to learn from Avraham Avinu? So Rashi, the way Rashi formulates it, so Rashi over here comments. By the way, there's no Tosfos on this, on the Amud Beis. It's Rashi, both columns. So Rashi writes over here, are we supposed to learn from Avraham Avinu in that, look, Avraham Avinu, so he was a series Zaris. Avraham Avinu jumped at every opportunity, meaning maybe he was almost like superhuman in his rizus. And we're supposed to learn from him? And the answer is yeah. In other words, that's a goal that we should set for ourselves, that we should be a Zaris like Avraham. Granted, by the way, he was unbelievable, right? Almost superhuman. But okay, but that's a goal that we should set for ourselves in terms of what we should strive for. That's the back and forth according to Rashi. If you look on the side of the Gemara, so he quotes an Aruch. Anyway, it's the outside margin of my Gemara. Uva Aruch Pirish Heich Nilman Me Avram Shekima Torah Achlo Nitna Ve'in Lanu Lomod Ela Miminag Neviim Mimnei Shenagu. So over here he offers a pshat. It's a very strong pshat, and that is that when Rav Yosef was asking the question, we're supposed to be learning from Avram. Avram was before Matan Torah. Meaning, we do the mitzvahs. Why do we do the mitzvahs? We do the mitzvahs because of Matan Torah. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to Moshe at Har Sinai and gave it to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. That's why we keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. There's a Rambam in Perusha Mishnayos. You probably heard me quote it before. So there's a Rambam in Perusha Mishnayos in Chulin, seventh parak, if I'm not mistaken. So and he writes with unbelievable clarity, all the mitzvahs that we do has nothing to do with the Avos. Meaning, obviously, they're the patriarchs. I mean, in other words, they obviously set everything up. But any time that we're commanded to do a mitzvah is because of Mamad Har Sinai, Matan Torah. And the mitzvahs are only for us, a tzivu, a commandment, only from Matan Torah and onward. Right? The Rambam over there was commenting on the Gittin Asher, right? Did the Avos keep the mitzvah of Gittin Asher? So the Rambam says maybe they did, but that's not why we keep it. We keep it because it was given to us at Har Sinai. So over here, when the Gemara was asking the question in terms of should we be learning from Avraham, so the Aruch, the way he presents it is, yeah, because he's before Matan Torah. And so we don't learn anything from them. That's another way to explain the back and forth. And presumably the answer would be, now over here, this is me just adding a little bit more, so I may be wrong, of course, but the answer would be, this is not a question of a mitzvah, this is a question of midos. Meaning this is just an attitude in terms of how we should be towards the mitzvahs. And that we do learn from Avram. Okay. Amar Rava. We're back to the Gemara now. Ella Amar Rava. So Rav Yosef HaKakashile. So fine. So in terms of learning Zrizus from Avram, so we all agree now that we should be learning from it. So what was Rav Yosef's objection? He was objecting, but right now what we don't understand, what was his objection? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what his objection was. So did not. So we're going to go back to a Mishnah in Pesachim. This is the beginning of the fifth parak of Pesachim. We learned in the Mishnah, Chal Arvei Pesachim, Lios Berev Shabbos, Nishcha B'Sheishu, Mechza V'Karav V'Shev V'Mechza. So in terms of Shechting, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, so the earliest opportunity when Erev Pesach coincides with a Friday, which means that we got a lot to do this afternoon. We not only have to shech the Karban Pesach, but we also have to start the roasting of the Karban Pesach prior to Shabbos. Remember, we described in detail, you can't roast the Karban Pesach on Shabbos itself. Normally on a regular yontif of Pesach when Shabbos is not part of the equation. So you simply roast it at night. You can start roasting it at night, and you'll eat it later that night. But when Shabbos is when Yontov and Shabbos coincide, so Erev Pesach now is Friday, so you have to start the roasting process before Shabbos. Fine. So what we want to do is we want to create the largest window available between the shechting of the Karban Pesach and Friday night. So what we're going to do is they're going to shech the Tamash al Bein Arba'im as early as possible. When's the earliest time? So again, on a perfect day, 12:30. 12:30 is when we're shechting the Karban Pesach. To which the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. 12:30 you shechting the Karban Pesach. V'nishchete mechi meshachrei koslai. So the Gemara says, I got a great idea. Why wait till 12:30? Why don't you do it at 12:01? Right? In other words, you're telling me that when's the time to dav mincha? The moment that the sun goes into the western sky. Okay, good. That's 12:01. So that'll give you another 29 minutes. Those are valuable minutes. So the Gemara says, my kushya, v'dilma kosla de beis hamikdash, v'sheish hamechza mashachrim, v'shem d'lo mechav nituvna. So the Gemara first starts off by saying, you know what? There's no stira whatsoever. One answer of the Gemara is that really, when do the walls become dark? Meaning, when do you see a shadow? It could be so. You see a shadow at 12:30. If the walls were perfectly straight, you would start seeing a shadow at 12:01, 12:02. The Gemara says maybe the walls weren't perfectly straight. Now, I know that's funny, by the way. We're describing the base of Mikdash over here. The walls aren't perfectly straight. You would figure over there that engineering construction are like done perfectly. Okay. But anyway, that's one suggestion of the Gemara. Or we could say the following. You and I need to wait till 12:30. Like, there's no way you and I are going to know exactly when the afternoon begins. Again, this is before watches, right? They had their sundials out. And look, and they looked at their sundial. But the difference between 11:59 and 12:01, so we can't do that. Avram can't do that. Avram was an expert astronomer. Now, I know the Gemara is really describing astrology over here, but that's fine. In other words, both, right? Avram was an expert astrologer and astronomer. So for him, he knew exactly when 12:01 was. The rest of us, not so much. And finally, number three, Mishum Dezakin V'yoshev Yeshiva Hava. So the Gemara says also on top of that, he was a Zakin. It was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And it's kind of funny. The second and third answers seem to be similar to one another. The second answer seems to be that he's more an expert in the discipline, in the sciences of astronomy and astrology. And the third answer is he's a Talmud Chacham. And basically because of his mastery of Torah, so that also gave him that kind of insight where he's able to see the difference between 11:59 and 12:01. De Amar Rav Chama Bar Chanina Miyamim Shel Avosenu Lo Pirsha Yeshiva Mehem. They always had yeshivas. In other words, all the Avos had yeshivas. And just don't think for a moment that just because they weren't formally given the Torah, they didn't have yeshivas, they had yeshivas. Right? Yaakov was learning yeshiva for 14 years. What was he learning over there? Okay, good. It's a wonderful question. The answer is, I know it's not a complete answer, but the answer is he had a yeshiva. Okay. What exactly he learned for those 14 years, I can't say exactly, but he had a yeshiva. So lo pirsha yeshiva mehem. So, hayu b'mitzrayim yeshivaim shenem alech v'asavta zikne Yisrael. So in Mitzrayim. So it's funny. The roots of that yeshiva really all go all the way back to when Yehuda came down. So he set up the yeshiva. Okay, the Gemara quotes the pasuk over here in the beginning of Shmos. But anyway, they had yeshiva Mitzrayim. Hayu b'midbar yeshivam shenemar asfali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. When they were going through the desert, they had a yeshiva. Avram Avinu zakin v'yoshev yeshiva haya. Avram Avinu also sat in yeshiva. I'm not really following the order of the Gemara over here. We're jumping around historically, but okay. So shenemar v'avram zakin babi yamim. Yitzchak Avinu zakin v'yoshev v'yeshiva haya. Yitzchak also was sitting in yeshiva, shenemar. Vayihi ki zakin yitzchak. Okay, and the word zakin over here means somebody who's a Talmud Chacham. Yaakov Avinu zakin v'yoshev v'yeshiva haya, shenemar. V'nei Yisrael kavdu me'zoken. So, and even though that's not the pashup shot, the pasuk, but nevertheless, it's understood in the context of him being a big Talmud Chacham. Eliezer, Evan Avram, Zakim Yoshev Yeshiva Haya. And let's also put Eliezer in the yeshiva as well. He was also a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Shenemar, Vayomar Avram, Elavdo, Zakain, Zakan Beso, HaMoshe, B'chol HaShelo, Amar Revelazer, Shemoshe, B'toros Rabo. Not only did Eliezer have full command of the finances and assets and portfolio of Avram Avinu, but on top of that also, he had a full command of Avram Avinu's Torah. Eliezer was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Hu Demeshek Eliezer, Amar Eliezer, Shedola Mashke Mitaraso Sharabo La'Acherim. And Demeshek is basically the Gemara darshens it, is that he drew from the Torah of his Rebbe Avraham Avinu, and he passed it on to others. So not only did he learn, but he was a Malamed. He taught others as well. Amar Rav Kiyam Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula. Avraham Avinu subscribed and complied with the entire Torah. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Eikav Asher Shem Avraham Bekoli. So Avraham listened to all the mitzvos of the Torah. Amar Le Rav Shimei Bar Chiya L'Rav V'Eima Sheva Mitzvos. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know, you have that pasuk, that's true, but it could very well be that it's just describing the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So the Gemara says, nope, not necessarily. Ha ikanami mila. So the Gemara says, we know he did the mitzvah of mila. Mila is not one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema Sheva Mitzvos U'mila. Okay, how about this? Let's take a very conservative view. Maybe Avraham Avinu did Sheva Mitzvos, and he did the mitzvah of mila, and that's it. So the Gemara says, Amalei imke mitzvah sai, visor sai lamaliyah. But let's go back to that pasuk. Right when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yitzchak, you know, your father was outstanding. He accepted my mitzvosai, sarasai. So what is that? So the Gemara says it must be that Avram was compliant with all the mitzvos of the Torah. Amar Rav Avitamer Rav Ashiki, Avram Avinu Afilo Eruve Tavshilin Shenemar Torasai Achas Torah Shebechsav Achas Torah Shemapeh. Avram Avinu kept all the mitzvos. I'll tell you what he even kept. He even kept the mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin. So he kept the mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin. So he was amazing, right? Tosfos Yishanim over here wonders, right? Erev Tavshilin, Lo Yada. I'm reading the Tosfos Yishanim on the bottom, second column, right, last lines. Lo Yada, Rebbe, Amai Nakat Hach Mitzvah, Amai Kila Leitfei Mikulu. Like Erev Tavshilin is clearly low on the totem pole, right? Avraham Avinu did everything. He even did Erev Tavshilin. So you need a pshat. I don't know why Erev Tavshilin is so low on the totem pole. Okay, it's a mitzvah de Rabbanan, but the truth of the matter is, there are many mitzvahs derabanan. So why is it so low on the totem pole? So it's attributed to the Meshech Chachma. I haven't looked it up in a while. So, but I'm pretty sure that I got the basic gist of it, huh? Well, it doesn't happen that often. So there's a Meshech Chachma. So he writes that the attribution, the connection between Avraham Avinu and Erev Tavshilin is that we know one of the svaras behind Erev Tavshilin, meaning Erev Tavshilin allows us to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. But what really allows us to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? So you remember the Gemara in Pesachim? It was back on, I'm going to say Mem Vav. I hope I'm right. So anyway, so the Gemara in Pesachim described the real reason why, in other words, Erev Tavshilin is not what allows you to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You know what it is? Hol v'klai orchim. It could very well be that I'm cooking on Yom Tov, even though I'm saying that it's for Shabbos, but guests can come on Yom Tov, and I'm going to feed them on Yom Tov. So that's as far in terms of why it is that really you're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So hol v'klai orchim. So who was mamish who epitomizes, right? We talked about learning from Avram this morning. So who epitomizes achnasas orchim? So good. That's Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu has tents open all the time, meaning, look, the little we know about Avram Avinu is that he hosted. He hosted all the time. That was part of his persona. So that's why the connection between the Eruvei Tavshilin and Avram Avinu. Anyway, that's the Meshech Chachma and Chumash. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots. Okay, let's quickly recap. We finished the second parak today of Yuma, and in the end of the second parak, so what we went over is that the Seder Ma'arachev done by a Zar, so Rav Yochanan pronounced that if a Zar does it, it's Chayv Misa. The Gemara, in two different versions, said it can't be, right? Either because it's an Avodas Laila, it just simply can't be a Chash of enough Avoda in which a Zar is going to be Chayv Misa. Or the second objection, which is what really was today's daf, is that it's not Avoda Tam, it's not the end of a series, and therefore you're not going to be chayav. So the Gemara says, fine. So what we have to do is that we have to redact, we have to refine the statement of Rav Yochanan, which we do. It's not the Seder Ma'aracha, but it's rather the introduction of the Shnei Gzira Eitzim. Putting the two blocks of wood on the top, that's a chash of avoda. And that, if a Zar is going to do, is going to be chayav Misa. Good. That's the end of the second parak. That's basically a recap of the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf, so we talked about now shechting the carbon tamid. So you're doing it after dawn has begun, before sunrise. So back in the day, as we pointed out, the Mishnah Megillah says that for you and I, we should wait for Netzach Hamah. We should wait for sunrise because we don't know for sure what's dawn, what's before dawn. So we should wait for sunrise. B'diavad, if we do the mitzvah after dawn, it's good. Now in the Beis Hamikdash, so they didn't wait till sunrise. They did it before sunrise. And basically, it was a formal system in terms of identifying when dawn actually was. So that's what we learned in the Mishnah. the system in which they determine that dawn has actually occurred and has actually transpired. You needed visual evidence that this happened, and with the skana kohen and good. So it was a whole formal system. And then the Mishnah also talked about the kohen gadol toveling in the morning, and then when is tefillah necessary, when kiddush yadayim v'raglayim necessary. But those are points that we learned in the Mishnah, but we really didn't cover as of yet. That's coming up. In the meantime, however, the Amud Beis of today's daf. So first a braisa that brings down a number of opinions of exactly what the formula was that was said between the skan and the person who was looking out for dawn, exactly what was stated. And then the rest of the daf talked about tzlusa de Avraham, right? The tefillah of Avraham, which is actually mincha, which admittedly is confusing, but okay, I quoted the Tosfos Yerushalmi in terms of how the Rishonim deal with that. So, but meanwhile, when it comes to mincha, so you could daven mincha when? 12:01, that's when Avraham did it. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. And the Gemara thought, I had one question, but the truth of the matter is the Gemara was bothered by the Mishnah Pesachim, because the Mishnah Pesachim says that you should not be offering the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im until 12:30, not 12:01. And so how can Avraham be davening by 12:01? So the Gemara gave a number of answers in terms of how it could be. The second and third answer basically is, okay, Avraham knew exactly when 12:01 was. For you and I, we have to wait till 12:30. Okay. And then finally, the Gemara says, by the way, Avram was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And we talked about the yeshivas of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. We talked about the yeshivas in the Midbar. We talked about the yeshivas in Mitzrayim. Okay, we had yeshivas with us wherever we went.
Okay.